Lecture topic: Respect for parents in preparation for Laylatul Bara'at.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إِنَّ مِنْ أَبَرِّ الْبِرِّ صِلَةَ الرَّجُلِ وُدَّ أَبِيهِ بَعْدَ أَنْ يُوَلِّيَ. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. We are always looking out for some specials. And there is some notice somewhere, some advert somewhere about some specials, and already the eyes will open out wide with something, with hearing about somebody mentioning there's some special somewhere. Our ears will become very, very attentive. We'll be very focused upon what's on special. And very often, that special is something we don't need. But it's on special, so because it's on special, we also have to have it. But despite the fact that it will then just sit and lie somewhere maybe, oh, it's not really going to be of any benefit to us, but we're looking out for specials all the time. And sometimes that special might be a saving of maybe 10-20 rand. Or it might be, if a bigger item, maybe 100-200 rand. For that 10-20 rand saving, for that 100-200 rand saving, we take a lot of effort to go and try and save it. And the irony is sometimes people will spend 20 rand to go and make a 20 rand saving. But the point is that it grabs our attention. We do what we can to try and get that saving, to try and get that special. But very often those specials of dunya, we don't even use it, we don't even have any need for it. Sometimes it's fine, it's of benefit to us. But while there's no harm in taking advantage of some special of what we need, no harm in that. If something is on special and we need it, very good. Enjoy the benefit. But all that benefit and all those savings and everything is very short-lived. Either we'll take the benefit, we'll use it, find it, consumed it, we used it up, end of the issue. Or we bought that on a very big discount, but it's lying there. And then we left it and we gone. Somebody else is going to use it. Don't use it, Allah knows. We'll be gone to our qabr. And sometimes in front of us it perishes, something or the other happens. This is dunya. This is how dunya carries on. But despite the fact that these benefits are short-lived, very temporary, but we have that desire to get it, we make an effort to acquire it, and we are very happy if we did get it, and we might even then it be a talking point for us. Tell everybody around, it might go on social media, what we managed to secure, what a saving we made, so on. So despite the fact that it's so short-lived, but there's so much of excitement, so much of enthusiasm, so much of eagerness for the short-lived temporary benefit of dunya. What is within the limits, what is halal within the limits, something that we benefit from, no problem. Allah Ta'ala hasn't forbidden that. But the real specials are the specials of akhirat. The specials that connect us to Allah Ta'ala. The specials that acquire the bounties of Jannat for us. The specials that acquire that which will open out the road and path for us. And pave the way to Jannat for us. And that is to secure the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. That is the real special. And Allah Ta'ala, out of His grace, out of His mercy, out of His compassion for His servants, from time to time Allah Ta'ala affords such specials. And these specials are not this very, very minute and very insignificant specials of dunya. These are specials that are the whole world put together, all the gold mines and diamond mines and whatever else, all the wealth of the world put together is not even equivalent to a speck of dust compared to the worth of these specials. But the difference is, the value of what is in the heart, accordingly a person will treasure it, value it. To the extent that there's the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala, the recognition of Allah Ta'ala in the heart, to the extent that a person has recognized his Rabb, to that extent he'll recognize the special. And to that extent he'll be eager to take advantage of it. And to the extent that that ma'rifat is lacking, then it'll be taken for granted. It came and went, so what? Next day we'll see. Whether we're living till next day, we don't have any idea. So the issue is that these specials come from Allah Ta'ala. These are beyond this whole dunya. And we should be latching onto them. Conditioning our hearts and minds from beforehand of how to take the maximum benefit. Now one is the very, very special month of Ramadan. In one hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the sahaba on the night before Ramadan, on the eve of Ramadan, and he said to them, قَدْ أَظَلَّكُمْ شَهْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. A very special month has come upon you, very great month. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam highlighted this. Look, this is not an ordinary time. This is not just a time to be casual, to just go through the motions. If a person has the worth of it in his heart, then he will really make good use of it. And he'll take maximum benefit from it. Like every businessman understands, what's, for example, the November month or the December month, depending what trade is in, what focus, what planning goes into it beforehand, what kind of effort is made for it, and how everything else is put aside to make sure nothing comes in the way of maximizing the profits of the time. So a person who has the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala, who has the greatness of Jannat in his heart. Jannat being that place which is the manifestation of Allah Ta'ala's bounty, Allah Ta'ala's special grace, the peak of Allah Ta'ala's mercy. And where the greatest bounty will be to see Allah Ta'ala himself. So now the person who has that, the value of that, that he's going to exert himself for that special. So one is the special of the month of Ramadan. And then even before that, on the doorstep of Ramadan, 2 weeks before, 2 days away from us now, comes the 15th night of Sha'ban. Again, a special from the side of Allah Ta'ala. Now one is a special, we see one leaflet somewhere stuck in the post box, or something has come on the phone, some specials, it grabs our attention. And now the person doesn't need anything to be scrolling through everything and scrutinizing it. And after he has gone through everything too, he needs nothing, but he spent the time looking at what he needed or whether he might need something, but he gave it full attention. And if somebody tried to stop you halfway, he's not interested. He wants to still first see something might be for me here. Here this special is coming from Rabbul Alameen. The special is from our Creator and Sustainer. The special is from that Rabb whom we have to now stand in front of, whom on the day of Qiyamah and answer for our deeds, and whose decision is going to be whether imma ilal Jannah or imma ilal Nar. Either it's Jannat or then it's Jahannam. We have to stand in front of that Rabb and answer for our deeds also. That Rabb is sending down specials for us. The 15th night of Sha'ban also is a very special occasion. Very special. The details we've heard many times, the virtues of it, etc. And we'll hear again. We just want to touch on one part of it, but just as an introduction to it, that this night of the 15th of Sha'ban has very great significance. In the ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this has been highlighted, many, many ahadith, that Allah Ta'ala forgives numerous people. Numerous, we'll call it in the billions. Allah Ta'ala forgives on this night. Now, such a great night, and the special of this night is it starts off right from the beginning of the night the special mercies of Allah Ta'ala descend, and then Allah Ta'ala Himself keeps calling out to His servants. Can we imagine that Allah Ta'ala calling out to His servants? The servants are in need of Allah Ta'ala. Allah is not in need of anybody. Allah Ta'ala is totally independent of His entire creation. He provides for His creation. The creation is desperately in need of Allah Ta'ala. But Allah Ta'ala is calling out, هَلْ مِنْ مُسْتَغْفِرٍ فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ. Is there anybody seeking forgiveness? I may grant it to him. هَلْ مِنْ مُسْتَرْزِقٍ فَأَرْزُقَهُ. Anybody seeking rizq, I'll grant him the rizq. But is this banda seeking? Is he asking Allah Ta'ala? Is he turning to Allah Ta'ala? هَلْ مِنْ مُبْتَلًا فَأُعَافِيَ. Anybody in a problem seeking ease out of the difficulty? Is he asking? Is he seeking? I'll grant it to him. Now this continues the entire night, حَتَّى يَطْلُعَ الْفَجْرِ, until the dawn breaks. So such a special, subhanallah. Allah's special forgiveness, mercy is descending. Allah Ta'ala Himself calling out to His servants. So now this is very, very special occasion. But then in the Hadith Sharif, together with this, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned that there are certain categories of people that get deprived of such a special. Imagine there's a special somewhere, buy one, get two free. Forget buy one, get one free. Is that special? Forget buy one, get one free, buy one, get half free. Then too, you'll find such a long line that if you came a little late, you're not going to make it today, you'll make it tomorrow. Because buy one, get half free. Imagine buy one, get two free. Then the queue will be from Allah knows best around the globe. That will be for that special of dunya, which if we didn't get it, we didn't really lose out anything much. Nothing we lost out. Life will carry on, inshallah. At the most now, we paid for that item somewhere else. What we lost? Nothing. But for that, to save that, and to gain that benefit, we'll stand hours in a queue, whatever. And supposing if it is then, there's some condition there, that to get this special, buy one, get two free, must fulfill the certain condition, whatever it might be. So we will make sure somehow we get it done. Now likewise, this is a special from the side of Allah Ta'ala, but there are certain preconditions to gain the special. Now among the preconditions is that a person must not be involved in certain aspects in life. Now, there are various things mentioned in the Ahadith. We're not going to go through all the details now. For example, one of the aspects mentioned is that the person who mudminu khamrin, involved in intoxicants, he gets deprived. The person musbilu izarin, he wears his garments, men, lower than his, below his ankles, he gets deprived. Then likewise, qati'u rahimin, the person who severs family ties, relationships, he gets deprived. What a special, subhanallah. And he gets deprived. And among the categories mentioned, the person who gets deprived of the mercies of this night, of the great specials of this night, are kun liwalidayh. The person who is disobedient to his parents. Now, outwardly, this too is something said in passing and carries on. But now, to understand it in the context of this occasion, this special, that the special of this night is beyond what the whole world can match one iota of it. And such a great special, but a person who is involved in these aspects becomes deprived. And one category is aqun liwalidayh. The person who is disobedient to his parents, he causes taklif and pain to his parents. One is something that the parent is themselves responsible for because they are commanding something that is against deen. They are instructing the child to do something that is wrong in terms of deen. So then, that cannot be obeyed. There's no way that can be obeyed. But that will be disobeyed with respect. That will be disobeyed with respect. Now this is a very detailed topic. In the Quran Sharif, in the Hadith Sharif, there's so many ayat in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala highlights this, and in such a way that only the scandi kalam of Allah Ta'ala, nobody else can highlight it, no makhluk can highlight it in this way. It's only Allah's kalam. Allah Ta'ala mentions side by side, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah Ta'ala has ordained upon you, you worship Him alone. That is above everything. And therefore obedience to Allah Ta'ala is above everything. But then alongside, obviously it's not on the same level, but alongside Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Worship Allah alone and be kind to your parents. Subhanallah. That mere mention alongside the worship of Allah Ta'ala highlights the importance. And how important this is. Worship Allah alone, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And be kind to your parents. And kind to them in which conditions? Kind to them in every condition. To the extent that, in another ayat Allah Ta'ala mentions, that if those parents are insisting upon the child to commit shirk, the parents are mushrik, and they are pressurizing, insisting, you also must give up your iman, and you must now turn to shirk, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Don't obey them. That can never be obeyed. But immediately Allah says, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. But treat them kindly. Even when they are instructing, pressurizing, they are bringing such great pressure upon somebody that now he is really struggling in that to commit shirk. They know you can't obey that. But still continue to be kind to them. Still continue to be kind to them. Deen is not departmentalized. Deen is comprehensive. Deen is not only in the masjid. Deen is in the home also. Deen is in the business as well. Deen is on the street also. Wherever and whenever, in every aspect of life, we have the guidelines of deen, which are governing how we should live our life. And this is the test of dunya. As long as we remember we are in a space of test, inshallah it'll be easy to understand what's the right thing to do. When a person is in that examination hall and he's feeling hungry, but he understands what's the right thing to do, make sabr. You can't pull out something from your pocket and eat now. So he's making sabr now, he's hungry, but he understands that's the right thing to do now, make sabr. Why? Exam's carrying on now. If I'm going to start eating something, they'll disqualify me. He suddenly got the urge to say something to somebody. But he's in the examination hall. So now that makes him understand what's the right thing to do. Keep quiet. You want to say something, keep quiet. Why? Because you failed the test just now. They'll put a line across your paper and disqualify you. So what made him realize now, keep quiet? He wants to say a lot of things. Maybe he just saw the person sitting across him who was the one who did him so much of harm and whatever else. And now suddenly all that anger just surged. And he wants to give him a mouthful and more than a mouthful, everything, bellyful also. But suddenly he knows where he's sitting. He's sitting in the examination hall. So that made him understand what's the right thing to do. Suddenly there he didn't say, but I lost it. No, he kept it. He didn't lose it. Why? Because he's conscious of this test. He's conscious of this examination hall. He's conscious that this is the time to now pass. I can't just follow what my desires tell me and fail. So that makes him understand the right thing to do. Likewise, when we realize all the time we are conscious, we are in this examination hall of dunya. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah Ta'ala says, we created this whole system, life and death, put everybody in here to test who's going to do the best of actions. إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِن نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ نَبْتَلِيهِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Created this insan from this mingled drop. Why? Nabtali, his whole life in dunya is a test. Now, the person is conscious of this test, what's the right thing to do? And now, sometimes he's not sure what's the right thing to do, so now he's pausing now. And if it is an assignment, Now, dunya is like the test of an assignment. She'll go and ask somewhere, get the guidance. What's the right thing to do? So in any case, we are in this test of dunya. And in this test of dunya, all aspects of life have to be considered, what's the right thing to do? Deen is governing everything. And a very important part of deen is the relationships. Very important part of deen. Relationships. And the top of all the relationships is a relationship with parents. This is one relationship, you can't do anything to change it. There's nothing going to change. Somebody's father is his father for life. And even after he's left this dunya, that will be his father. He can't do anything to change it. And somebody is his mother, then she will be his mother forever. In dunya also, and in akhirat also, she'll be declared his mother. He can't change that. And Allah Ta'ala has ordained, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانِ. Allah has ordained. You worship him alone and treat the parents kindly. And then further Allah expands, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. We've discussed these ayat on many occasions. But the Quran Sharif repeats these messages and lessons for us so that we take it and keep repeating it, keep reminding ourselves, keep refreshing it, and keep reflecting how much we started practicing. We heard it 100 times. Have we started practicing 10%? So Allah Ta'ala is further than giving us, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا. If they reach old age, so now they're going to become sometimes irritable, they're going to become sometimes short, fused, and whatever else will carry on. But you remember, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Don't even say uff to them. Don't even express irritation. وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Don't ever rebuke them. You have to say something, you have to address a matter, you'll do it in a dignified manner. You'll do it with respect. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Speak in kind words to them. وَخْفِدْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. Humble yourself in front of them. وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. And make dua for them. Ya Allah, have mercy upon them as they had mercy upon me when I was a child. So this is a very, very important aspect in deen. There are those who understood the importance of this. Then we see in their lives how they took it. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, he is the sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that was the greatest muhaddith of the ummah. The greatest muhaddith. The greatest number of ahadith are related by him. And yet he was for a very short time in the company of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came only after the conquest of Khaybar. It was in the 7th year Hijrah. But yet he gained so much. And a very big part of this was his mother's dua. His mother did not even accept Islam at that time when he brought her and came to Madina Munawwara. He came from the tribe of those. Then later on she accepted Islam. She would initially also still say some harsh words against Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he would be very hurt about this. But he would still treat her kindly. And then one day again she said something very, very harsh, and he was heartbroken, and he came rushing to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, please make dua for the mother of Abu Huraira. Allah give her iman. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his hands, and he made dua for her. And as soon as he made dua for her, Abu Huraira ran back. When he comes to the door of the house, he wanted to enter, he can hear some water dropping inside. His mother says, wait. She was taking ghusl inside. And then when she's done, she comes and opens the door for him, and she recites the shahadat. The dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, immediately that effect came. But then as time went, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said every time he would enter the home, every time he would leave the home, He would start off by saying, making salam to his mother, "Assalamu alaikum ya ummatah wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." Salam. Allah Ta'ala has given us salam in the Quran Sharif. Make salam. How often we don't make salam to our own? "Assalamu alaikum ya ummat." Oh my beloved mother, salam to you. May Allah's rahmat be upon you. She will reply likewise. "Wa alaikum assalam ya bunay wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." Then he will say to her and give her dua. "Rahimakillah kama rabbaytini saghira." May Allah have mercy on you. The way you raised me and showed me all the kindness and compassion when you brought me up from a little baby and took care of all my needs, etc. So she would then respond and say, "Rahimakallah kama barradtani kabira." May Allah have mercy on you, as you have been so kind to me now that you've grown up. See, if he came into the home 10 times in the day, he would do this 10 times. And 10 times he would take his mother's dua and leave. And that benefit of that, the barakat is not always in rands and cents and pounds and dollars. The barakat of that is flowing up to this day, in that the thousands of ahadith that he narrated, every day, Allah knows best how many ahadith are read by some student in some lesson of hadith, in some ta'aleem that's taking place. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reports that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and he's getting the reward of that too. Perhaps hundreds of thousands of times daily, there's a narration that is being narrated somewhere or the other, narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. And every time there's a hadith that was narrated by him, that is now quoted by somebody, he gets the reward as well. But where did this barakat come? This is barakat. It is gone almost 15 centuries ago. That barakat is still flowing so strongly. This was the mother's dua. And Nabi Kareem's last dua above that, obviously. There was a muhaddith, very great senior muhaddith, Muhammad bin Munkadir rahimahullah. In the narrations of Bukhari Sharif, repeatedly his name comes. Meaning he was a very great muhaddith. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah quotes his narrations many, many places. So once, there's one statement of his mention, that Bata Umaru Yusalli. His brother's name was Umar. So he's referring to his brother Umar. This is my brother Umar would spend the night in ibadat. Now imagine somebody spending the whole night in salah, in standing, in qiyam, reciting Quran Sharif, subhanallah. 2 rakats is a challenge for us, whole night, subhanallah. He says, Bata Umaru Yusalli, wa bittu ana aghmizu rijlay abawaya. And I used to spend the night, or rijlay ummi, I used to spend the night pressing the legs of my mother. Maybe she was elderly, she was sickly, she needed the khidmat. He says he used to spend the night in ibadat. He's a great muhaddith. He's not talking out of ignorance. He's not talking without knowing what's going on. He's talking with deep insight. He's saying, my brother Umar used to spend the night in ibadat. I used to spend the night pressing my mother's feet. وَمَا أُحِبُّ أَنَّ لَيْلَتِي بِلَيْلَتِهِ. I don't wish in any way that I should exchange my night for his night. That I rather take the reward of his night and give him the reward of my night. I'm not ready for that. Meaning, I firmly believe that the reward I got for what Allah gave me the tawfiq to do was far greater. He's a muhaddith, great muhaddith. But he's understood something in this. That his mother was in need of that khidmat. His mother was in need of that help. So the more important thing for him in that condition was, he realized was, that while my brother is busy in salah, alhamdulillah, very good for him. But for me now, this is my jannat. There was another great muhaddith, Haywa bin Shuraih, rahimahullah. And he used to be conducting his dars of hadith, lesson of hadith, big gathering of students around him. He was not employed by anybody to do this. He wasn't in teaching in some under some employment. This he was doing for his own benefit of akhirat, he was giving these lessons of hadith, but perhaps this was just next door to his house, whatever. So his mother would suddenly shout to him that go and put the grain for the chicken. Now they might have had some chicken running around there. So that must be somebody's task. Maybe they didn't do it, or maybe his mother should handle it, but for whatever reason that day she can't take care of it. While he is busy with his lesson of hadith, in the midst of this whole gathering, and his mother will shout to him, go and put the grain for the chicken. So he will pause everything, wake up, go sort that out, and then come back and continue. And it never occurred to him at any time that I should tell my mother, you don't know what I'm busy with. That you want me to go and feed chicken. What, I'm somebody that cuts grass or something. That never stuck, came to his mind. He understood that this is more rewarding for me now, because he's not employed here by somebody to do this. For me now is more rewarding to pause this and go do that. One of our great akabir, Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani rahimahullah, they had migrated, his father took the whole family and migrated to Madina Munawwara. So now it was very difficult times initially. And after some big family and living in very constrained situation, finally the father decided, they managed to find them some small piece of land and then decided to build a small home for the family. But now everything had to be done a lot themselves. So sometimes he used to be busy teaching Hadith Sharif in Masjidun Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For 17 years, Allah Ta'ala blessed him with that great bounty. He taught Hadith Sharif in Masjidun Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in sight of the Rauza Mubarak. And there were times when his father would send a message that some workers haven't come today. We need to get this thing done today. Now we need to mix all the cement, whatever. Please you come help. So depending now how long it's going to take, either he will then now dismiss the class or tell them, okay, hold on. He would go and do the necessary and come back. So they either were ignorant, or they were the really knowledgeable people who knew what they're doing, and we don't know what we're doing. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, his mother was very elderly and she was very sick, bedridden for a good amount of time, some years, the last few years of her life. And he used to be very often there. And very often, almost meaning very often, daily, repeatedly, taking care of all her needs. But at the same time, he was the Grand Mufti of Pakistan of his time, running a major madrasa with thousands of students and so many other duties and responsibilities. So he used to take care of all that as well. And at the same time, he used to take care of his mother. And at night, he used to be right there. Any case, as time passed, eventually she passed away. After she passed away, he says, now that she's gone, I'm only realizing that I wish I had stopped everything when she had become bedridden and done nothing but her khidmat. When she became bedridden and needed the khidmat, I should have stopped everything else. What he was doing? He wasn't cutting grass, obviously. And neither was he was in dunya. He was in deen. I wish I could have stopped all that and just dedicated and devoted myself to the khidmat of my mother. So these people understood what is the value of this. Just to finish off on, time has already run out, that Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, he's quoted one doctor from Karachi, Dr. Noor, Ahmad Noor, his name. He had written one article in a magazine. Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was quoting from that. And he says his doctor wrote, very, mashallah, dindar person. So he's writing about his experiences in his years of now in the medical field. Now he was a highly placed doctor. So he says that in my entire career of 45 years in the medical field, treating people and attending to them and so on, he says, this is my experience. Not a Hadith Sharif. This is his experience. He says, I used to get into the discussion with people, ask about patients, sometimes themselves, ask people around them about them. He says, I realized two things. That people who were very, very involved in serving their parents, making khidmat of their parents, I noticed a common thing, two things. One is, mashallah, they used to generally be people who I saw with my own eyes leaving this world, going with a very good moth. leaving this world in a very good manner. Kalima flowing through the tongues, in all the signs of some very good death. And the second, he says, this is obviously not a Hadith Sharif. I notice these people don't get afflicted with what we call incurable diseases. Now this is not a rule, it's not something that if somebody has some disease which is called incurable, na'uzubillah, this person was not serving his parents. It's Allah Ta'ala's hukam. But he's talking about his experience. So it's not something that is 100% like this. It might have been by and large this the case. It's two things. Then he quoted many incidents as well. He mentioned many incidents, first-hand incidents. He says one person was a professor. He suffered a very severe heart attack. So now he suffered this heart attack. He was rushed to the hospital. So he says he was also present attending to him. So now this person's mother also came along. He says when we saw him, we attended to him, we were busy treating him. But the signs were there that this person is not going to survive. Mort is written for everybody. Nobody is going to live forever. If not today, tomorrow, not tomorrow, the next day, sooner or later, everybody is going to leave. So you know, the signs were there, this person is going to survive. In any case, he carried on treating him. His mother sat down on the musalla in the corner, or something she sat down on the corner. He says, we can hear her saying repeatedly, Allah, I am pleased with him, you be pleased with him. Now obviously at that time, it wasn't just lip service, it was what her heart was talking. Allah, I am pleased with him, you be pleased with him. He says now, his condition carried on deteriorating, the signs now all, and then eventually it was now his last. He says, but in his last moments also, he was fully in his senses. And in that condition that now, though everything is ebbing away, life is ebbing away, but he's fully in his senses, and then he recited the kalima very clearly aloud, and passed away. He says, in front of my eyes, I saw this effect. Mother's dua, and then after learning about the person, it transpired, mashallah, person always in the khidmat of his mother, and serving her, etc. So now this, Allah Ta'ala granted him such a beautiful mort. Another person, he says that he had suffered some kidney failure, and severe jaundice, and 17 doctors had attended to him over time. And all gave up hope. They said, there's no way he's going to survive. He says, eventually I was called in. I came to the same conclusion. He's not going to survive. So in any case, I called the parents in. I said, look, maut and hayat, life and death are in Allah Ta'ala's hands. You all follow what is the masnoon, sunnah procedure in these things. What we have been taught in the sunnah. Give sadaqah. Make salatul haja, make dua, and we'll do what treatment we have to do. You do these things. So the parents got involved in a lot of amal, dua, begging Allah Ta'ala. Say, by the third day, this person's condition got changing. His time was not up, but the barakat of this dua, he recovered. And he says, within a short time thereafter, he was well enough to leave the hospital, discharged. Then he mentioned the last incident, we'll just finish up on, there's many others, but just to round this off now. He mentioned that there was one patient that was brought in. This was the son of his father's friend. Oh, it was his father's friend actually. That person was brought in. Khair, I'll just skip that for now. There's another more important incident. Time is gone, so we'll just rather deal with the last one. This is one youngster was brought in. This person also was suffering from some kidney failure or whatever. He says his whole face had become blue. His eyes were like popping out. And he says that entire time he was already now in Sakarat. For 3 days in that condition of Sakarat, 3 days, it was that a sound coming out of him like somebody is choking him. He says on the third day this just got so loud, so much more louder. It got so loud, the other patients started walking out of the ward, those who could move out, they got so afraid, they started leaving the ward. So the staff came along and they moved his bed out of here and put it into isolation place so that the other patients can be back in the ward. He says from that isolation room also, the sound was still reaching the ward. And then in this very pushable condition, Eventually, he passed away like this. That too in a very sad state. He says, I was very shocked. He says, in my entire career, I had never seen anybody leave the dunya in this manner. He really gripped me. He said, I then asked somebody close to him, the family person, said, well, what was the issue? Something, it cannot be just nothing was the issue here. This ending is a sign of something. So when eventually he explained what he saw and how things were, so that person said from time to time this person would get irritated, whatever, he would hit his mother. This became the end result. Allah Ta'ala save us, Allah Ta'ala protect us. While this is the very important aspect, yes, as parents, we too should be very cautious. Because we are going to be answerable to Allah Ta'ala as well. Of how we conduct ourselves. We cross the line as parents, we are going to be taken to task as well. What kind of role models we are, what kind of example we set. How often somebody is now, some youngster, he's got a habit, he himself wants to get past it. He's got a habit of vulgarity, every now and again, second word, third word, he's swearing at his wife, he's swearing at his children also. Where you got this from? See, well, in my house I grew up all the time hearing swearing. Vulgarity was a common language. That was the language. Anything my mother did, she would get sworn at, we would get sworn at. Swearing was the language of the home. It became part of my language. That's not going to be anybody's excuse on the day of Qiyamah, but the fact is that that father is going to bear the responsibility as well. So while it doesn't give any child the license to be disobedient to his parents, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah has compiled another kitab besides Bukhari Sharif, Al-Adabul Mufrad. And in this kitab, he's got one chapter. Babu birril rajuli walidehi wa in zalama. That a person must be kind to his parents even if they oppress him. Chapter heading. And then he's quoted some narration under it. You don't have time for it. The point is that that doesn't become a license for any child to now for him to be disobedient. But as parents, we have to be very careful as well. That we set the right example. We become the good role models and we don't overstep the mark as well. Otherwise, we also will be answerable on the day of Qiyamah. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. Allah ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of grabbing and taking these specials that come on these beautiful occasions. Allah ta'ala bless us with His special forgiveness and mercies and make us those who will get directly to Jannah. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Make zikr for a few minutes and watch. Decide the worship.
La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله لا إله إلا الله 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 La ilaha illallah 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 la ilaha إلا الله لا إله 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 إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. الله جل جلاله عم نواله. الله 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 لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وعنت الوجوه للحي القيوم. يا أحدا صمدا لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم. سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا هما إلا فرجته، ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين. إله العالمين يا الله، O most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive all our major and minor sins, Ya Allah. Forgive us and make us like the day we were born, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, forgive our families, Ya Allah. Forgive our friends and relatives, Ya Allah. Forgive the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us your true and obedient servants, Ya Allah. Make us your loyal servants, Ya Allah. Make us the true ummatis of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, enable us to reach the Mubarak month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. With afiyat, Ya Allah. Allahumma sallimna li Ramadan, wa sallim Ramadan lana, wa sallimhu lana mutaqabbala. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, take us with afiyat to Ramadan, Ya Allah. Enable us to spend the time in Ramadan correctly, Ya Allah. Enable us to gain forgiveness, Ya Allah. Enable us, Ya Allah, to conduct ourselves in a way you become pleased, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, all your specials, Ya Allah. Enable us to appreciate it, Ya Allah. Enable us to take the maximum, Ya Allah. Allah, the 15th night of Sha'ban, Ya Allah. Do not deprive us of the mercies of this night, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, bless us with the tawfiq, Ya Allah, of sincere tawbah, Ya Allah. Of, Ya Allah, abandoning all the sins and vices, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, of abandoning all the things that become obstacles from your mercy reaching us, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those who fulfill all the hukukullah, Ya Allah. All your rights, Ya Allah. Enable us to fulfill the rights of your servants also, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, all those who are sick, give them shifa'i kamila, ajila, mustamirra, da'ima. Ya Allah, remove every trace of their ailments, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, those in any kind of difficulties and hardship, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, grant barakat in each one's rizq, Ya Allah. Grant abundant halal and tayyib rizq filled with barakat, Ya Allah. Save us all from every drop of grain and every grain and drop of haram and doubtful things, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you guide us to your pleasure at all times, Ya Allah. Guide us to your pleasure at all times, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, throughout the world, wherever the Muslims are, any pain, suffering, hardship, Ya Allah, out of your grace and mercy, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Grant one and all afiyat in deen, Ya Allah. Afiyat in dunya, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant every khair and barakah, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, all those who have raised their hands to this dua, all who asked us to make dua for them, grant each one's jaiz needs, Ya Allah. Fulfill each one's pious aspirations, Ya Allah. Remove each one's difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant each one the best of dunya and akhirat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us yours, Ya Allah. You become ours, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'adaka minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anta al-musta'an wa alayka al-balagh. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arham.